Thanks for tuning in to the Illuminations Podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. I'm your host, Nia. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, sound therapist, and yoga teacher here at Illuminations, coming to you guys once again with another episode, with another speaker. And today, I have a very, very interesting topic, and I cannot wait to get started. So the topic of the day is shamanic healing and the importance of shadow work. And to talk to us about this topic and to enlighten us, I have a very special guest with me. His name is Giancarlo Zazzeri. Giancarlo Zazzeri is an international quantum and shamanic healer. He is also the founder of a new and revolutionary energetic healing modality called Transcendental Quantum Reiki, or just simply TQR. His goal is to strike the perfect balance and harmony between science and spirituality. So let's just dive deep into this topic. But before that, let me just introduce you and welcome you to the show. Thank you for being with us here today.
Hello and greetings. And I'm very happy to be here with you as well. It's a very nice sensation. And I have to admit that from the last time I did a podcast, it was years ago. So I feel a bit like coming out of the freezer right now and defrosting myself.
No worries. I'm sure you have a lot of information to share, and let's just get to it, shall we? So let's just start with shadow work. So what exactly is shadow work? And then we'll move on to the debunking the myths of shamanic healing.
Okay, well, now let's talk about shadow work, okay? And it is a very antique and vast topic indeed, okay? And behind shadow work, there are even also many antique superstitions behind shadow work, like negative energies that arrives from the external and negatives that arrives from certain family issues regarding jealousy and black magic and all that stuff. But now let's get into a more modern perspective, okay? Mm-hmm. To step out, let's say to snap out of the superstition, because if we have to understand shadow work, the first thing to do that really helps us to overcome our shadows is to snap out of false beliefs which are based on superstition, okay? Where superstition really works on our mind in its, let's say, suggestive capability, the power of suggestion, really conditions our mind, mm-hmm. and determines even the reality in which we live in, because the power of the mind is very tremendous indeed, mm-hmm. if we don't realize how to master this, the power of our mind, okay? And if we are easily suggestionable, of course, we can, let's say, enter some sort of, let's say, psychological loop that can even determine the outcome of our lives in an undesired way, okay? And this is what, let's say, this is what shadow is about, okay? And it's all a question of generational belief, epigenetics, okay? This is the way I like to see it. It's an epigenetical issue, a dysfunctional epigenetical issue. This is what the shadow is all about, dysfunctional epigenetical issue.
So can you give us an example of what exactly is shadow, and can you give us examples of that?
Well, let's say for an example that we're talking about the ancestors, okay? Let's say for an example from my mom's side or from my dad's side, going back into generations, there was, let's say, an ancestor that has lived a tremendous trauma in their lives, okay? Mm. An unresolved trauma, okay? Because when we go back towards our generations, towards our ancestors, there are the positive aspects and there are the negative aspects that regards unresolved issues, which is trauma. Mm. Now, our DNA is like a storing library, okay? And it has the memory of our ancestors within it. And this is epigenetics, okay? And the memories of our ancestors in positive but unfortunately negative ways echoes throughout our DNA like ghosts within ourselves, okay? Said in a metaphorical way. We have to understand that our DNA creates an energy field. Everything is based on electromagnetism. Everything emits an electromagnetical field. Our DNA emits its own electromagnetical field, okay? And I personally believe that this electromagnetical field determines the function of our subconscious mind that then conditions the function of our autonomic nervous system that then eventually determines our attitudes, our beliefs, our way of thinking, and our way of going through life that underlines, let's say, that can underline an undesired outcome of our life. So when we're talking about epigenetics, we're talking about, let's say, unresolved issues of our ancestors that still echo within our subconscious mind that then conditions our attitudes and our ways of thinking. Okay? And I have a very personal approach to this because throughout my research, I've been seeing this aspect like the tree of life, okay? I've always taken the tree of life as an example because the tree of life is a very powerful symbol, okay? It symbolizes the origins of life itself, the origins of time and space, okay? We have, let's say, the supreme divine spirit, for an example. It is the fire of life, okay? The initial spark that then creates time and space that becomes like the roots of this tree that then goes up and forms a trunk, and then the branches go in all sorts of directions, creating alternative timeline events that we can call different dimensions. And this is the description of even of the universe, according to shamans, according especially to the antique Norsemen, the shamans of Norvegia, okay? And they like to call this concept the world tree. Okay, Yggdrasil, the world tree. And it really reflects even how our subconscious mind functions, especially regarding epigenetics. And it reflects the fact that as we are living in the universe, and the universe can be much structured like the tree of life, we are the universe itself. It lives within us, and this is the subconscious mind, okay? Each one of us is, let's say, a personal universe, okay, with its own history, with its own background. And of course, now we are talking about epigenetics, the ancestral part of ourselves. So usually, when I see a person with epigenetic issues, throughout my intuitions, a tree appears in front of me, okay? And I clearly see this tree. And usually, in society, our personal tree of life, which is the metaphorical aspect of our subconscious mind, doesn't look quite good. Okay, doesn't look quite good. I usually use a method where I guide people to encounter their tree of life through a hypnotical and deep trance modality that us shamans like to call dream language, okay? Because when we're talking about, let's say, hypnosis or the guidance of people through hypnotical modalities into deep trance, this is dream language, okay? It's a language that works on metaphors that then creates a journey, the inner journey of the person, which is the journey of the inner hero, where the person encounters in the deepest reaches of their subconscious mind the conditions of their subconscious mind, which is the conditions of the energy field of the DNA that looks like a very not good-looking tree of life initially, okay? The branches are weighing down. These are all the weights of the unresolved issues of the ancestors. The roots are not nourished properly. The tree is very dry, and they may see numerous photographs that don't look good. Faces of people who are unhappy, faces of people who are sad, faces of people who are angry, for an example. These are the faces of the ancestors in that precise moment where they have had their, let's say, worst trauma in their lives, okay? And of course, a person is guided inside that tree and they encounter let's say, the metaphor of the cleansing energy of the universe, which is the spiritual energy, okay, like a fire, okay, which is the origins of the tree itself. And through there, they encounter, let's say, the real nature of their shadow. And of course, the nature of the shadow is our inner child trapped inside that tree.
Wow.
Yes.
What? So that is what you call the shadow, the trapped inner child.
Yes, it is trapped inside that tree. Okay. And of course, the inner child has to be parented. You have to parent your shadow. You have to be the mother and the father of this shadow, of this traumatized inner child, which is the result of all the unresolved issues of the ancestors, to then grow her into her true potential. And that was where the parents were lacking. Mm. And then she starts to unleash, let's say, what I consider the power, the higher power of the higher self, of course, that then sanifies the tree from the roots upwards, okay? And then the tree changes, and the child, that little inner child, is finally free to leave the tree.
So the child should leave the tree?
Well, the inner child should be guided into a perspective where she sees things from the external rather than being trapped inside. So it's all a question of metaphorically guiding the person from being subjective to objective. Because the secret is learning how to observe our issues if we want to have the power to change them. And that means guiding the inner child from being the victim to the courageous inner spiritual warrior, to observe, to face, to change whatever has to be changed from the trauma into strength, fortitude, and wisdom.
I love that, because what that also shows is that even though you have the specific genes or the trauma that comes from the ancestors, you still have the choice to change your life.
Of course, of course.
So it's not like you are a victim to the whole
Absolutely.
How you're born or what your ancestors went through. And I imagine it's about acknowledging and respecting what they gave you or where you come from, but also knowing that that was in the past and that's over, and you have a choice to respond or how to react, I guess.
Of course, because once you discover that inside your DNA there is the light of oneness, that fire of life that permits you to have the power to master, let's say, your shadows, and that means even parenting that little inner child, to permit her to outgrow out of the role of the victim and to manifest, let's say, the vision of what you have always desired to be, which can be the vision of your highest self. This is when the healing energy starts to, let's say, unravel and, let's say, expand throughout the DNA and then eventually change the subconscious mind, okay? And it can be a very powerful reprogramming that determines even the outcome of a health of the health of a person as well further down the track. Because, of course, when we are talking about health issues that we can manifest further down the track, we are even talking about the resolution of this situation.
Wow. So can you tell us, where does shamanic healing come into all of this? And can you just debunk a few myths about shamanic healing? What exactly is shamanic healing? Because when I thought of shamanic healing, the first thing that came to my mind was plant medicine or ayahuasca retreats and so on.
Well, you know, shamanic healing is a global approach, okay? It's not always necessary plant healing and psychotropic substances to reach altered states of consciousness, like ayahuasca, for an example,
that
really works on the limbic system and you're producing a very high amount of DMT, for an example.
Yeah.
For an example, when I'm talking about my family background, I knew an uncle of mine, he was a shaman, and he didn't use psychotropic substances, but he was very intuitive, and he believed in what he delivered from the heart, and he created a very powerful energy out of his aura that was capable of altering what was around him through his belief. I remember that I went to him and I was 13. It was the age of 13. And I had a huge infection on my kneecap. And he was living in a small van, okay, in the middle of nowhere. And the family took me to him. And he started, and he just took a green leaf. He put it on the knee. He started to do sacred geometrical symbols with his finger. And he started to recite a prayer, okay, like a mantra. And the kneecap just went down. Just went down, down, down. And I was okay.
Wow. And he saw that.
I saw that. And he clearly looked in my eye, looked at me in my eyes, and he said, remember this day, and remember things will occur now from now on.
Wow. And yes. That way your journey
and it
started.
Was, yes, it was practically an initiation as well. Okay. So in a certain way, I feel that I'm continuing the legacy of my uncle.
Yes. Wow,
that
that's
was
beautiful.
In the past considered even a mad person, unfortunately, because, you know, many family members didn't understand him. He was considered like some sort of schizophrenic, but he was a very powerful spiritual healer.
So who can go to a shamanic healer, and when do you know you need to go to a shamanic healer, or if a shamanic healer can help you with a specific issue? So can you shed some light on that?
Well, you know, it's quite intricated in reality. We have to understand that we are living in a perfectly organized system that we like to call divine order. Nothing occurs occasionally. The universe, on quantum level, is a perfectly organized, interwoven, very, let's say, interwoven and intricated system indeed. And this interwoven, intricated system is called convergent time and space. So, as shamans, when we meet a person, we don't question ourselves if that person is ready or not, or this person has come because they have, let's say, booked through whatsoever to take an appointment with us. We always know that there is a higher purpose for everything because we live in a perfectly convergent system made of, let's say, this illusion, this matrix called time and space that converges perfectly from the infinitely great to the infinitely small. Why are the galaxies in their place? Why is the moon rotating around the Earth at a certain distance, perfectly in its place to make the Earth habitable for humanity?
So there's
why
an order.
Why are the planets in a certain place? Why are the stars there? There is an order.
Yeah.
And everything moves throughout the cosmos in a very orderly way. And nothing occurs occasionally. So even for people, even this encounter, or even an encounter with a person in the middle of the streets that can last for a fraction of a second, there is a higher purpose. It is a convergent mode. It is a moment of convergence that only the soul knows.
Wow.
So all we can say, you are here in front of me, relax. Be here in front of me with an open heart and an open mind, and let's see where this moment takes you. But at the end of the day, we always say, you choose. You choose. Okay? We don't convince people into something. It's always a person that should choose. And if the person is capable of making a choice and understanding the importance of choice, then the person personally is prepared to go into their journey. Otherwise, the person doesn't come back.
Right, right. So when it comes to healing specific issues, let's say, what can shamanic healing do to me, and what does it look like? What does the whole process of shamanic healing look like? What does it entail?
Well, it is a very intuitive process indeed that is related to what I personally like to call personal holistic identity, okay? And it develops throughout a lifetime of experience, and it is related to from where we came from, who we are, and it gives us an idea of where we are going, okay? But to really understand that deep meaning of from where we came from, it's all a question of acceptance of our past, acknowledging it. Never be ashamed of our past. We all have scars from where we came from, but we have to transform them into the roadways of our wisdom. And this is the pathway of the spiritual warrior. To be proud of ourselves, of who we are now, to be proud of our heritage. And then to deliver this to people, that they feel the strength, they feel the presence of this, the ancestral spirits through this concept, okay? And when you have an open heart and an open mind, shamanism is an accelerator, okay? It facilitates people in the healing process if they have clinical disorders. It doesn't, let's say, substitute. It doesn't, let's say, take the place of clinical treatment. Absolutely not. Mm. Spirituality, as I said, should travel with science, okay? Should travel together with the scientific approach. So it is a facilitation of people who have even chronic clinical disorders. And for people who have psychological disorders or energetical disorders, okay, it works very fast and rapidly. But it's always a question of coming inside the room where the shaman is or where the medicine man or medicine woman is with a total sense of, I trust this moment. Mm. I trust my choice. Mm. My heart is open to receive. And then the miracle occurs. The miracle occurs. Of course, the first approach may be okay. The ego of the person may come out and may try to challenge the circumstance.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, as long as a healer is in their heart, at the end of the day, the spirit always prevails on the ego. Mm. And now we arrive up to a certain point where two souls are communicating with each other. Mm-hmm. And this is when the healing starts, okay? So it's all a question of, okay, you have had your life experience and you're a person of a certain position. But when you enter a healing space, you should enter the concept that you're leaving behind the door your social position totally. And you're entering the healing space naked. You are a naked soul. And all souls are the same. And there is no time and there is no space and there is no history background in this healing space. Mm. It is a divine portal where you are a naked soul. And of course, you need an act of humility to understand this. But once this is understood, then of course, bang, the miracle of healing occurs, of course, okay? But what can I say? Shamanic healing has different approaches. For an example, I like to use the approach of dream language and music and sound and energy healing, okay? And dream language is what nowadays is called hypnosis, okay? And I combine it with energy healing and sound. Mm. My background is very based upon sound and music because I'm a musicist as well. I've been studying music and I've been studying folkloristic music and shamanic music. I compose music as well. So when you hear the drums, you can hear effectively a drummer playing, okay? But of course, it's done with spiritual intent, okay? And since my childhood, I've always had the capability to channel the spirits through me, believe it or not. And it got me in trouble in my childhood because, you know, when the teacher was talking, I was daydreaming and suddenly my channels were opened. It comes from family. And suddenly some sort of spirit comes through me and talks through me. Okay. And it used to happen in my childhood without me controlling it. I was just sitting down watching television or eating and suddenly I used to go into trance and suddenly messages used to come out of my voice.
Yeah.
And even the spiritual presence used to create an energy field where, and people could feel the energy field of the spiritual presence as well that used to bring even benefits to people as well. And throughout time, I learned to control this capability, okay? Because throughout time, I had to ground myself a lot. Mm-hmm. I had to work on myself in a very down-to-ground way.
And why is that important? Why is grounding important when it comes to this?
Because it helps us to master our capabilities and it doesn't make our capabilities take us away into some sort of abstract that isn't really needed in our everyday life as human beings. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is transcendence. We have to learn to transcend our highest potential into the here and now that then becomes our intuitive power and our creative power that we can put into service into this world as human beings and not thinking that we are extraterrestrials because that doesn't work for anyone and it doesn't take us anywhere. Mother Earth needs inspired human beings to make the difference.
So what are the signs that you are ungrounded or like can you give us examples of what, if you can relate it to disorders in the current, I don't want to call it disorders, but issues that people usually come to you with, like whether it's anxiety, whether it's mental, different mental illnesses, like can you relate those issues with the imbalances and the energy and how you help them and That's one part of the question. The second part, how is shamanic healing different from going to a traditional psychologist or a counselor?
Well,
so two questions in one.
Wow. Okay. Well, in reality, I think that going to a shaman or going to a traditional counselor or psychologist doesn't really make a huge difference at the end of the day, because it's all a question of how the psychologist or how the counselor operates towards the person, okay? Mm. Important that a healer is constantly in the pure intent of their heart, okay? Mm. And this makes the person capable of empathizing with who needs work. So, you know, sometimes we have to leave beside the technicalities and be more intuitive, to be more empathic, and it takes quite a few years to develop this this skill, okay? But all I can say that shamanism can work perfectly together with the classical scientific approach of clinical psychology and counseling. And even the clinical psychologists can even integrate some shamanistic work into their work as well, like drumming, because in a certain way, it works like an accelerator. Mm. I've noticed that people who have had years and years of disturbances, when they undergo, for an example, a process of shamanic healing, okay, but it also depends on the healer. How much do you truly believe in what you're doing? Are you in the total belief in what you're capable of doing to generate this miraculous field of divine intent to accelerate the process of changing in a person, okay? So it's a subjective situation as well in between healers. But all I can say throughout my experience is that when I do my chanting and I channel the spirits that chant through me, when I do my drumming and when I do my certain process of energy healing or even dream language work, because it's metaphorical language that bypasses the rational mind and you're talking straight to the subconscious,
yeah.
I notice rapid changes, rapid changes. That's what I notice.
Wow. Okay. So you would say shamanic healing works at a different rate to which clinical psychology or other modalities work with?
Well, it can practically be like an ice piercer, you understand, that pierces through in a quite a rapid way the rational layers of the mind, and it gets quite quickly to the subconscious mind, especially through chanting and through drumming. Yeah. Because when I guide the person into a deep state of trance, I alternate, let's say, the hypnotical guidance or the dream language guidance with my chanting as well. Mm. So the person is living a journey that takes them quite rapidly into their subconscious mind, and the rational mind reaches its critical phase very fast as well, and it just breaks down.
So it stops you from being very critical or analytical, yes, and allows you to just feel and be open to whatever the message is or get to the root cause of the issue
of course.
Without overthinking.
Yes.
Wow, that makes complete sense. So do you have any tips for the listeners who are listening right now? What tips do you have when it comes to little things that they can do on a daily basis for their shadow work?
Okay. Well, you know, I understand that here in Dubai, people are always in a rush, right? And we don't live in the jungle or on top of a mountain or in a forest. But please, I would advise to dedicate at least some time to observe, to observe yourself, okay? As soon as you wake up, at least wake up earlier, maybe 10 minutes, half an hour earlier, just to put yourself in something in front of a mirror. Close your eyes and observe how you are breathing. Observe yourself. Learn to observe your actions. Learn to observe the nature of your words and how you are delivering your words. Because this is a way to create your personal pathway to understand your underlying issues in time, and to bring out your shadows and document your shadows through writing as well. Write your personal agenda, because this is very important, writing about yourself, because this gets you into a deep understanding of the nature of your shadows that then transforms them in time into your allies and into your authentic strength rather than your weaknesses.
Got you. So writing is one. Anything else?
Observing and writing.
Observing,
writing. Listening and writing.
Observing, listening and writing.
That you have to slow down the rate of your life a bit. You have to slow down a bit. Slow down.
And that's very tricky with the kind of lifestyle we all lead.
Of course.
With our technology and everything being quick and everything coming to you so fast, the level of patience kind of diminishes, right? But this is exactly why self-work and reflection and meditation comes in.
Yes.
So before we leave, any last words for our listeners?
Any last words? Well, all I can say is thank you very much for your patience. Thank you very much for listening. And it's been an honor being here. And I honor the spirits in each one of the listeners as well, okay? I feel their presence. I feel their souls. I know that they have received nice answers to their inner questions that can help them to go through life. But all I can say is that in this modern life, we have to identify, and I'm talking to the listeners, what we truly need and what we have to put aside. Mm. The difference between yes and no, and when it is the time to say yes, and when it is the time to say no. No is as powerful as yes. No can be a very powerful healing instrument. Especially when you arrive up to the time where you feel that you are putting too much on your shoulders. Many people nowadays have the tendency of putting too many unwanted responsibilities on their shoulders and they're not capable of creating their own boundaries. Why? Because this is a lack of self-confidence and value in themselves and in what they do through life. If they understand this, if we all understand this in this ongoing modern society, then we have the key to our inner peace, that then becomes the key to our authentic success through life in whatever we choose to do.
Wow. That was well said. Thank you so much for those beautiful words.
You're welcome.
And thank you to all the listeners who are listening to us today. And we will catch you with another speaker, with another topic, another time. Until then, stay safe, live light.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.